Well, it's great seeing everybody here today. Today's going to be a little bit more of a review like we kind of did last week. So that means turning off your attention monitors. I get it. Okay. But if you were here last Sunday, you'll recall we talked about our Tammany Oaks Church of Christ purpose statement or mission statement, and here it is. You remember the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's words and live His grace so that the family will grow. And remember we introduced that back in May of 2002. But before we go any further, it was brought to my attention last Sunday after church that some of us in here have either forgotten or never knew, or maybe we have some visitors here today and you don't know this, but the question was asked, why in the world do we have a freight train barreling down on us here? Okay. What's the point of this freight train? Well, some of you probably remember. Remember our theme for the year? Ready? Remember that? Ready? And we've got a theme song for the year. Some of y'all remember that, but some of you may have forgotten. I'm looking at somebody right now. But we're going to play the song because I like it so much. People get mad. There's a train of calling. You don't need no baggage. You just feed on love. All you need is faith. Still great, okay? It is still great, but some of you remember we spent two whole Sundays talking about this song. One Sunday talking about the great theology that is in some of the words to this song, and then about half of the next Sunday talking about the words that might be, or the thing about the song that might be somewhat misleading. And we talked about that. You can actually go back to our website and you can actually find that sermon. January 15 and January 22nd. So we're not talking about freight trains running us over. This is just a reminder of our theme, okay? That's why we have this in our background pictures. So let's get back to the purpose statement and a review of it from last week. You might remember that last week I apologized for not having done a better job, or good job at all, in fact, of keeping these words at the forefront of our minds over the last 13 months or so. So, let's all say it again out loud together, okay? The Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's words, live His grace, so the family will grow. All right, thank you. We're not going to say it every day, every Sunday we get together, although that wouldn't be a bad idea. But what's better than reading it, what's even better than memorizing it, is what? Living it. Absolutely. Living it. And we got to live it both inside the building and outside the building. And it is beginning to occur to me that it's perhaps harder to live it inside the building and outside the building. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange how often we speak to complete strangers people that we encounter in our business, at school, just going through life, we speak to them with honor and with respect. And we do it so much better than we talk to each other here in this building. And I don't know why that is, other than the fact maybe we've become so familiar with each other that we don't even see how important our brothers and sisters are. And so we need to work very hard on living it inside the building. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say. This is how God intends his family to be. Take delight in honoring each other. I love that from the Living Bible. And I like it also here from the English Standard Version. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love that. But it's weird. It's weird, isn't it? He didn't say, outdo each other in showing how dishonorable sinners are. And I leave it up to you to picture in your mind the kind of sinners who ought to be included in that picture. Though I can say that the sinners that I picture rarely struggle with the issues that I have a problem with. And Paul also doesn't say, outdo each other in getting the most parts of worship right and getting the most parts of doctrine right. He doesn't say that. And if I didn't know better, I'd be tempted to say that Paul was on the same page as Jesus, who said this. Here's an even harder truth. Anyone who is angry with his brother will be judged for his anger. Anyone who taunts his friend, speaks contemptuously toward him, or calls him loser or fool or scum, will have to answer to the high court. And anyone who calls his brother a fool may find himself in the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are bringing an offering to God, and you remember that your brother is angry at you or holds a grudge against you, then leave your gift before the altar, go to your brother, repent and forgive one another, be reconciled, and then return to the altar to offer your gift to God. Jesus just says, stop it, y'all, stop it. I don't even want your worship. And by the way, giving is worship, in case you were wondering. I don't even want your worship if your relationships are messed up. Go right now. Make it right. Then come back and worship. What would happen if we started taking the words of Jesus there seriously? Our giving might go down. But our relationships might be better. Something to think about. Here's something else Jesus said. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. And again, if I didn't know better, I would say that Paul and Jesus are right in step together. But of course, I do know better. And so do most of you, right? We know that what Jesus really wants from us, really demands from us, is making sure that we do the five acts of worship. I mean, probably some of y'all didn't know that there are five acts of worship, and only five acts of worship, no more, no less. Five acts of worship: singing, praying, communion, giving, preaching. No more, no less. Certainly no skits. Certainly no hand clapping. None of that stuff. But making sure we get those five parts right, exactly right, every Sunday. And by the way, that includes making sure that only the right people speak. he also demands that we realize that everything in here is a salvation issue. So mark and stay away from anybody who doesn't do everything the right way, because they're going to hell, and they may drag you to hell with them. You could lose your salvation if you make a mistake in any of this. And I know better, and some of you do too, we know this better than Paul or Jesus did, because of the hundreds and hundreds of church splits and divisions that have occurred as we weed out, if you will, all the wrong doctrines and all the wrong people. I mean, that proves it, doesn't it? That proves what God really wants, doesn't it? And you're all staring at me and going, well, when you put it that way, it sounds kind of stupid, doesn't it? Amen. It does. So let's turn off the sarcasm, okay? Let me turn that off for now and get serious. Because Jesus was serious when he said this. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Not if you say it, by the way. If you demonstrate it. Or if you might say, live it. He was serious when he said that. He was serious when he said those words in Matthew about not worshiping until you get your relationships right. And Paul was serious when he said, let's outdo one another in showing honor to each other. How is it that we, and when I say we, okay, I'm not talking about obviously us here at Tammany Oaks, okay? Obviously. I'm talking about we, the church in general, right? But not us. But how is it that we have jumped past what is clearly important to God? Loving, respecting, and honoring each other. And how have we leaped all past that and landed on the idea that getting everything right for a couple of hours on Sunday is what God's really all about? Well, that's easy. We take notice of the very intricate detail that God gives to Moses for the construction of the tabernacle back in the Old Testament. And we see all the intricate detail in how the sacrifices and the feasts and the rituals are all to be performed. And so we conclude that God is a God who demands strict perfection in how he is to be worshipped. And our eyes have gotten so focused on those things, I think, that we've missed some other things. We've missed this. You don't take delight in sacrifice. If you did, I would bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. The greatest sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. God, you will gladly accept a heart that is broken because of sadness over sin. We've missed that one. Here's another one we missed. It's a long reading. I hope you'll stick with me on this one from Isaiah. He says, do you think I want all these sacrifices you keep offering to me? I have had more than enough of the sheep you burn as sacrifices, and of the fat of your fine animals. I am tired of the blood of bulls and sheep and goats. Who asked you to bring me all this when you come to worship me? Who asked you to do all this trampling around in my court? It is useless to bring your offerings. I am disgusted with the smell of the incense you burn. I cannot stand your new moon festivals, your Sabbaths, your religious gatherings. They are all corrupted by your sins. I hate your new moon festivals and holy days. They are a burden that I am tired of bearing. When you lift in your hands in prayer, I will not look at you. No matter how much you pray, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves. Wash yourselves clean. Stop all this evil so that I see you. Stop all this evil I see you doing. Yes, stop doing evil and learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their rights. Defend widows. I don't know how we missed that one, but we've missed it. We've missed this one. No, the Lord has told us what is good. What He requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. And we've missed this one. The only thing that counts, the only thing that counts, is faith working through love. And those are just a few, by the way. We could probably read Scripture for another hour like this. How have we gotten to where we are? How have we gotten to where we are with all the endless, tedious divisions in the church? How have we gotten there without seeing the heart of God that is so obviously shining through these verses that we just read? How have we gotten there without weeping over how every division, every failure of love breaks the heart of our Savior, who prayed this? I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me, that's us, through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Okay. But there have got to be some rules, right? There have got to be some rules. Doesn't it have to be some way to measure? Some way to identify the haves from the have-nots? The ones who are in from the ones who are out? The chosen from the rejected? Rules. I love rules. I'm a former lawyer, or as I tell you, a recovering lawyer. I love rules. Rules. Man, they give us clarity. They give us order. They set expectations. They help us to measure. They help us to identify the ones who are in, the ones who are out. But you don't want too many rules. You don't want too many rules. If you got too many rules, it gets confusing. It gets difficult to manage. The ancient Jews, as most of you probably know or have heard, had over 600 rules. It was too many. It was too many. If only there were a way to narrow it down. Kind of like this.
Now, men, there are a few things we ought to get straightened out right at the start to avoid any grief later on. Now, here at the Rock, we have two basic rules. Memorize them so that you can say them in your sleep. The first rule is, obey all rules. Secondly, on the walls, as it takes a lot of work to erase writing off of a wall.
Okay. That is so classic. That is so great. Only two rules. Some of you who've been around here for the last couple of 3 years, you probably know where this is going. For you new members or visitors, what's going on is not anything new or crazy or strange or weird here at Tammany Oaks. It's just that we finally figured out that long before Deputy Fife figured it out, Jesus let us know that in his kingdom there are only two rules. Now remember the two rules? Sir, he was asked, which is the most important command of the law of Moses? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only these, and you will find you are obeying all the others. So here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ, we've been working hard on those two rules, the two greatest rules, the top two rules. But we're not working on this short list of rules in order to identify who's in and who's out. What we're really working on is getting into our heads and to our hearts this really simple truth. And that is this. Until we find ourselves perfectly following rule number one and rule number two, we have got no business attacking, vilifying, admonishing people who are struggling with rule number 10 or 37 or 45 or whatever. But the reason we find ourselves struggling with rule number one is this little word here. Let me go back. Oh, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a little bitty word, but man, that's a hard word. For me, okay, I'm talking to myself mostly today. For me, I find it pretty easy to love God with some of my heart, part of my heart, part of my soul, part of my mind. But all? I mean, all to Jesus I surrender? Come on, man. That's hard. And don't even get me started on having to love my neighbor as much as I love me. Have you seen my neighbors? Do you know them? There's got to be some mistake here, right? There's got to be some mistake here, Jesus. I don't even love the people I love as much as I love me. Not most of the time, and certainly not all the time. How about you? Anybody else? Got that figured out right? So even though there are only two rules here at the Rock, and by the way, I'm thinking about changing the name of Tammany Oaks Church of Christ to the Rock. Wouldn't that be great? Then we could actually be like Barney and say there are only two rules here at the Rock. Okay, we're probably not going to do that. But even though there's only two rules here at Tammany Oaks, we find ourselves desperately in need of, so very grateful for, the grace of God. Amen. And also so very grateful for the grace of our neighbors, of our brothers and sisters, without which there is no chance at being a family. But there's more. There's more. You know, Andy in our class on Sunday mornings has constantly been reminding us that it's a good idea to look at the parallel passages, because you can sometimes see a different aspect, a different perspective. And in the parallel passage here in Mark, there's something that's really great there. There's something really great there that energizes me, at least, and hopefully you too, in our constant daily struggle with the two rules. And by the way, a hat tip to Andy Stanley for telling us this, and to Don Moore for showing us this. Thank you, Don. Just a few weeks ago. So Matthew ends the story here. See that? Mark takes it a little bit farther, a little further. And here's a parallel version in Mark's gospel. We're going to pick it up kind of as Jesus is finishing what he says here. Jesus says there are no commandments more important than these, the two, right? The two most important. Then the guy who asked him the question originally says to Jesus, "You have spoken well, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one. There is no other God but Him. To love God with all your heart and mind and strength is very important. So is loving your neighbor as you love yourself. These things are more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Jesus saw that the man had answered wisely. He said to him, "You are not far from God's kingdom." I want you to notice what the guy didn't say. He didn't say, "This is how I live my life, Jesus. I love God with all my heart, and I love my neighbor as myself." He didn't say that. All he says is, "I get it. I get it. I understand the concept. I understand the concept." He doesn't say like the rich young ruler when he approached Jesus and said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know, keep the commandments." And he says, "I've been doing that since I was a child. I've been keeping them perfectly since I was a child." Which, by the way, was a lie. Y'all know that, right? But this man didn't say that. He didn't say, "Look, I've been doing this." And Jesus senses that this man's heart is connected to God's heart in a way that most of the religious leaders of the time couldn't even understand. This man had seen through all the smoke and the clutter and the nonsense and had realized that his God is a God of love and mercy and grace, not a God of anger and wrath and technicality. This man realized that rather than wanting to harshly punish his children when they make mistakes, his God longs to rejoice over his children with singing. And Jesus, hearing this man speak, sensing his heart, has these beautiful words of encouragement for him. Can you even imagine how those words, "You are not far from God's kingdom," how that affected this man? How these words coming from Jesus would have strengthened him in his walk, would have helped him face the challenges of his life, would have given him a story to pass on to his children and to their children for generations. Can you imagine? And can you imagine the ways in which hearing these words from Jesus could affect our church family. Because that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us. The Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. He's saying, you are not far from the kingdom. As we slowly and steadily love God and each other and our neighbors more and more. You, he says, the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ, are not far from the kingdom of God. You, he says to us, are blessed of my Father. You are held safely in my hands. And you are dearly beloved. Let's rest. Let's rest in the joy and peace of that truth this week as we encounter a world that is pretty harsh and pretty brutal. Let's speak and let's live this truth, this grace to each other, so that the world will know that we are one with Christ. Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.